Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to start by saying I'm not quite sure how this sermon's going to unfold. I said that to Graham during the week. I've had a real sense that God wants to speak, and I believe what I have this morning is from God's heart. I'll be honest, the prophetic has been firing off fairly crazily this morning. It has been for a little while now because I feel that God has a word very particular for us as a church. But before I go on to that, I have to give this now because I felt God say, no, go and do it now. Dan, where have you gone, mate? As you worship this morning, I saw your heart was incredibly soft. And God wanted me to say to you, mate, your heart of worship is beautiful. What you bring in worship because of your heart, God loves, and God wants to affirm that over you. And I felt God wanted me to say, protect that heart. And I know you do. Guard your heart with his word and with the presence of God, because you're going to have experiences in worship at home in all sorts of places, which is going to completely confound you. My goodness me, look what God is and who God is. And you're going to worship God out of that beautiful heart you have. But the thing is this, you're going to have those experiences. You're going to bring them back up to the platform here. And this morning was an example of that. Okay, your leading was beautiful, and that was an example of it. But you're going to see some wonderful things in God, and you're going to literally come up to the stage at times, burst in with the presence of God, because you've just experienced God in your own life at home, and you're going to bring that presence in here to God. But God says, guard it, protect it through his word and through spending time with him. But your heart of worship, I'm repeating myself, is beautiful. He wants to affirm that over you and say, well done, good and faithful. You're doing exactly what I want you to go and do. Okay, but to your mum and dad, Anne and Rick, I wanted to say this to you, and I'll probably get teary with this because I'm a dad, and I hope God says this to me one day. He wants to say, well done for bringing up the boys you have. They're his sons, and you know that, but he says exactly what he wanted you to do in bringing them up in the ways of him, you've done exactly that. And he wants to affirm that publicly over you both this morning. You have three wonderful sons, and they are exactly what God wanted. This is exactly how he created them, and you brought them up exactly how he wants you to bring them up. And he wants to affirm that over you this morning, and to say publicly to everybody here, if you're a young mum and dad and you want to understand what it is to bring up people in the way of the Lord, there's your example right there. And I was told to say that particularly, well done, you've done exactly what I wanted you to do. And to me, what an amazing affirmation from God as a mum and dad, that God's saying, you know what? They're the sons I wanted, and you've produced that, and well done. So I had to say that, okay. Psalm 96, verses 4 to 9 says the following. For great, by the way, I don't have any PowerPoint this morning. My apologies for that. I felt I needed to not be distracted by trying to keep up with it, so I haven't done any this morning. Psalm 96, verses 4 to 9 says the following. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all ye families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. I sat down in our study after church one night, and my Bible was open. I'm not sure if I've ever had that experience before. I'm sure many of you have, where as I looked at the Bible, it was actually open at that chapter, it was almost like those five verses literally came right up and hit me right in the face there. It was quite an amazing experience. It was almost everything else just blurred away, and all I could see were those five verses. And over the next hour, God started to speak and started to share his heart about what this verse is really all about. And I started writing, and this sermon really isn't a sermon as such. I'll be honest, I feel it's more a prophetic word or a series of words to us as a church based around what this scripture is all about. And I'll be honest, at times as I've been preparing this sermon, there's been some times I've sat at home and I literally have shook, because I'm thinking, God, who am I to go and give a sermon like this? Who am I to go and speak this word? But that's because God has called us all to worship and to minister in his house. And I feel an incredible privilege to be able to do that. But before I go into this scripture, God said to me, we as a church need to pray and speak over our church pastors here, Graham and Chris, and I do have a word for them, but I wanted us all to be involved in that. And I said, God, why do you want me to say this right at the very, very start? And God gave these words to me. He said, because of the foundation of this church and for the uncompromising decision Graham has in honouring both God and the full integrity of his word, this morning's message is how to be spoken. Graham's leadership is the foundation of the message and the prophetic words that will be spoken. And I felt it's important that we as a church honour him and pray over him, and I have some words to say to him in a minute. Because, and Graham has touched on this, I believe that we are in a season now where we are going to see a new manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It was said last year prophetically that God was preparing a wineskin, but the wineskin wasn't ready. And I think I shared with you the last time I spoke that during communion one day, God said to me, the wineskin is now complete. You're no longer anticipating and hope to see my Holy Spirit moving. You now expect to see my Holy Spirit move. It's a new season. It is a new time. And I've actually felt very strongly that this morning there is something significant about today for the future for us as a church. And I had to say this over Graham and Chris before I could move forward, because it's because of their leadership that the foundation of this, of what God is going to do in the future, is going to happen. And so Graham, for you, Psalm 1, he gave this to me. If you do have your Bibles, by all means go and open up to Psalm 1. And it says this, and as I read it, Graham, this is what God wants to affirm over your life this day, because this is how God sees you. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Before I finish this chapter, as I read that just the other day, God gave me this picture of this amazingly big tree, Graham. And on that tree had all this amazing different types of fruit. Now, a tree only produces one type of fruit, but this tree had multiple different kinds of fruit. But as I looked at the fruit was incredibly large and was incredibly rich. And as I said, had great variety. And God wanted me to say to you, that picture I was seeing was representing not just the fruit of the past, but the fruit of the future of the ministry through you, through both of you, but through this church. You can see the physical fruit around us. You just have to walk outside and see the amazing blessings of God. But there's even greater blessings which you're going to see through the spiritual fruit, which your ministry has produced and is going to continue to happen. And God wanted to say, the best fruit is yet to come. The best fruit of what this church is going to do and what your ministry is going to do is yet to come. Almost like when Jesus turned the water in the wine, the best was the last. He said, that's going to be what's going to happen here. And I particularly felt to say to you that out of this ministry and this fruit, many people are going to go out and do ministry across this land. But they weren't leaving the church. You were sending them forth to go and do this ministry, and they came back because they were still part of this church. But this church was going to have influence in other parts of this land in speaking the word of God and ministering the word of God because of the abundant fruit you have. But they're not leaving the church as such. They'll keep coming back because this is their home plate. But you'll be sending them out going, right, you go and do this, you go and do that, because that's what God has called. But I want to affirm that over you. And then it goes on, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And I believe God wants me to affirm that over you this day, that that is how God sees you and the ministry that you are doing. And like I said to Rick and Ann, well done, good and faithful. You're doing exactly what God has called you to do. You have a heart of ministry and serving before God. You're not trying to build your kingdom. And these are not my words. You are trying to build God's kingdom, and God says, that is what I want. I don't want you to build your kingdom, because your kingdom will fall, but my kingdom will never fall. And you are here and you're doing this because you are the man called for this season and this time. Okay, and to rest in that. And I particularly felt to say to you too that you are, how do I say this again? God, please refresh it for me. That I saw you actually standing on a watchtower, and as you were standing on this tower, you were looking out over the land. And part of your role, I believe, for the future is that you will be watching over other churches and other ministries to protect them and not allow them to fall into things which is not of God, not allowing them to compromise what the word is. You'll be there to help guard, and you'll be there to protect them. And it's part of your role in the future is to be a leader. And I actually got the word, you're a leader of God's word. And that's because you know the integrity, you understand the word, and you're there to help and encourage and empower other leaders to not compromise when the pressures of the world come on. Because the pressures are coming, they're there already, and they are going to increase. And in particular, there's going to be days and seasons in the future where people are going to come and challenge you, or going to come and mock you or laugh at you, because you're going to say, well, that's not right. But mate, this is not what the world is about these days. But God would say to them, they have two choices. They will either have to repent of their ways and realise that's not to say, or they will bear the fruit of their folly. They'll bear the fruit of the things they're saying, because God will guard you and protect you, and he'll prove through you that his word is truthful. His word is all life. And just to keep locked on that word and keep honouring that word, and the fruit of the word will continue to come forth. Does that make sense how I explained that last bit? But as they do that, they'll have two choices. Either repent or their folly will catch up with in particular. So I'd actually like us all, and I'm going to come and pray with these guys, and I was actually going to ask the eldership to come and stand around them, but I felt God say, no, I want the church to stand up. I want them to be involved in all of this. So in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up as they come down and pray, because I want us all to participate. Leadership is hard. Leadership costs. It always costs. If anyone's been in leadership, you know it costs. It comes with a personal price at times. And they need to know that we as a church are standing behind them, that we have their backs, that we're there together. Because there might be some times in the future you won't agree with every decision that's made. But they have to make those decisions based what they believe is the right and the best thing to do. And we need to be able to honour and respect that and know how to walk in that in our unity. So could everyone please stand, please? Father, we come before you right now, Lord. And Father, I thank you for this couple. Lord, I pray your blessing over them right now in the name of Jesus. And that was the word you particularly wanted me to pray. To pray your blessing over them, Father. That, Lord, your favour and your blessing is upon them. And I ask that, Father, as this new season approaches, that, Lord, you would just continue to reveal yourself to them. That, Lord, your truth of your word would be shown for what it is, Father. That, Lord, your word will never return unto you void. What will accomplish that for which it was sent. And, Father, you're going to manifest and show that through this couple in not just this day, but in many days to come, Father. Lord, the truth of your word will be spoken and the fruit of your word will be fulfilled, Father. And I believe that, God, you want me to affirm them, but Lord, you want us to stand around them and say that, God, we're in this together. The Lord, they are the leaders, the coverers of this church, but Father, we're there to work together, to worship and to honour your name. And I pray that, Lord God, you continue to speak into their lives. Lord, let them hear your voice clearly. Let them hear your voice so loud and clear that they know where you're leading and what you're saying, Father. And we just ask that, Lord, you would guard them. You would protect them, that Father, as things of the world would try to come and encroach upon your things, that Father, you would guard them and protect them. And I ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I feel to say to both of you as well, as you honour my house, I will honour your house. As you guard my house, I will guard your house. I mean about your family. Trust me, because I will continue to do that. Okay. For Chris as well, just quickly, I saw you the other day, Chris, during worship, and you were standing there, and you were standing like this. I'll come back to the platform so people can see. And you're standing like this. And you stood there and you had this amazing sword underneath you. And as I looked at the sword, it was a very simple sword in one sense, very plain. There was nothing ornamental about it. But the sword was about this height. And you stood there like that, quite relaxed with it. And I noticed as I moved away from the handle, the sword went out like that and then came back to a point at the end there. The thing which stood out about this sword was it was incredibly brilliant, incredibly white. And what that was wasn't the light showing off it from outside. It was coming from inside the sword. And obviously, God wanted me to say this too. That sword is obviously the sword of the Spirit. In the natural, it looked impossible for you to be able to pick it up, because it was too heavy. But I saw you grab the handle of it. You just picked it up like this, effortlessly. And God's, the reason why is this, because you know the word of God. You understand the word of God. You understand the authority you have in God. And he wants you to use the word because you have his permission, because you know it and you do it with the respect and the love and the passion you're meant to do. And I actually chuckled with this next part when I heard God say this, because I thought it was quite funny. I'm going to try and say exactly how I heard it. He said, pity help any demonic spirit that stood in your way, because when you had that sword there, they literally fled, because they knew he was a woman who stood and stood their ground because of what the word of God says. On the outset, and he said this to me as well, he said, on the outside, she might look like this beautiful Christian lady, but inside, God said, here's the heart of a warrior. And the interesting thing was, as Graham stood up on the watchtower and watched out over it and did that protection, you were actually in the trenches. And you're actually going whack, 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 whack the whole way through because that was the authority you had. And God says, well done, keep doing that because you have the heart of what I want to do with it. You don't have an attitude of trying to do other things to show, hey, look at me. It was all about God. And I feel in particular God wants to say to both of you, that's what God wants in leadership. He doesn't want people to build their kingdom. He wants people, he wants church leaders to build his kingdom. And this is a bold thing to say, but some people have forgotten that. And that grieves God because that's not what it's about. It's about his kingdom, his power, his glory. But well done, good and faithful. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. Let's pray quickly. God, I just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for who you are. Lord, there's so much I have to say and I know you want me to say, but God, give me wisdom this morning to know what to say and what not to say. God, I need you to lead me in this, Father. Lord, your church, your heart for this church is immense. Your heart for your church, the church of this nation, is immense, Father. I pray that we, your church, would hear your word and that, God, we would respond in the way you want us to respond, saying, yes, God, here we are. We will stand up for you and we will worship you and honour you. God, I just pray, Father, let us have the ears to hear, the heart to receive, and more importantly, Lord, the will to respond to your word this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll read this first bit of scripture again. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and glory in his sanctuary. As I sat there and started reading that, I felt that God say this to me. I'm going to read it out exactly how I heard it. This is the word I felt God wanted to talk about. Remind my church what it is to fear my name. For I am the Lord God Almighty, and for some they have forgotten. Revere my name, sing and speak of my glory, which has been freely poured out over all who would cry out to me, Abba Father. Lay aside the distractions that would cause you to not participate in worshipping and revering my name. As you revere me, as you honour me and worship me, know this, you will see glimpses of your future inheritance in worshipping me face to face. You will see glimpses of what I have in store for you, which is for now and will be your rightful and God-given inheritance. Cry out to me in worship, because as my word says, if you don't, the very stones of the earth will cry out. There's a very clear message I believe God is saying in this very short word. We are to fear God. God wants us to fear him, come before him in fear and trembling. It says it right here in Scripture. Yet, we've just been singing a minute ago, God has not given us a spirit of fear. It says that in Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love and of self-control. So why would God say fear him, yet he's saying, I haven't given you fear? Because we've forgotten what fearing God is. We've forgotten actually understanding what does fear mean in this context. Because when we stand and, well, when we think about fear, we think about something we want to run away from. When we're fearful of something, we don't stay there and look at it. We want to get away from that thing because we don't want to be hurt by it or be affected by it. Fear is something you flee from. But fear in this context means something completely different. The Hebrew word for fear in this scripture, in this context, is yara. Listen carefully what the definition of fear means in this context. It means to stand in awe of or to be awed. To fear in reverence, honour and respect. And I love this next one. To cause astonishment and awe. To be held in awe. To inspire reverence or awe. What's the common word coming through? Awe. God wants us to stand in awe of him because that's what the fear of God is. That we come and stand before him and worship him and go, God, you are the amazing God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You defeated the powers of darkness. You rule over this earth. Your word will always stand forever. Yet we can cry out to you, Abba Father. And I love that in that word there. Here we are talking about he's talking about the Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord God Almighty. Yet he wants us to cry out to him, Abba Father. So not do we simply stand in awe, we can stand in intimacy with him as well. What an amazing honour and privilege that we can do that. And the Hebrews use that word, yara, when they recognise the power and the position of the individual and therefore they want to render them the proper respect. Who deserves more respect and honour than the King of Kings? And we have to come before him. He wants us to come before him in fear and trembling and worship him. In other words, for he is to be awed above all other gods. He is to be astonished and held in awe above all other gods. That's what it's saying in this scripture here. And I believe God wants me to remind us all this morning, do you come before God each day in fear and trembling? Do you come before God in awe and wonder every day, knowing that you can do that freely? That we can do it without any things of the past holding us back, because the cross defeated all that. Another part of that word was talking about distractions. And it says this, lay aside the distractions that would cause you not to participate in worshipping or revering my name. And as I thought about that, God gave me this word to say, do not look at what you don't have, but look at what you do have. You have the truth and the power of my word, and you have the truth and power of my Holy Spirit that resides within you. For those who look at what they don't have will never be satisfied. But those who look towards what they do have will always be satisfied. It's interesting. As I read that, I can feel the emotion starting to well up within me. I don't believe it's my emotion. I believe it's God. He is the source of our inspiration. He is the source of everything. If we look to him, we will never be dissatisfied or unsatisfied. If we look at the things of the world around us, we will be dissatisfied because we're always told we have to have more. God is what we need to look towards. Don't let the distractions of this world stop you from coming before God in fear. Come before him in awe and wonder and worshipping him. And I don't believe just on a Sunday morning. I believe every day God wants us to come before him. Is there something in your life right now which is distracting you from coming before him? I don't have the time to unpack that, but there's many things in our life which will distract us. Sin will distract us. If there's areas in our life we know we haven't brought before God and we still practice them. Thinking we're not worthy can distract us. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. You're not worthy for that. Because as soon as you start believing that, you become distracted by it. I know in my own life, and for those who are here, in the last time I spoke, I shared my testimony about the journey God led me on. It was an 8-year journey. For 2 years, I allowed my journey to distract me from God. I allowed my own pride and my own ego, my own God, this is not what I planned, this is not what I wanted, this isn't what I expected this year or this time. I let that distract me from keeping my focus on God. Every time I looked at God, I kept looking through my own ego and pride. I kept looking through the own things in my own life which were upsetting me because of what God was leading me through, and that became my focus and not God. I have no answer to this, but I have a suspicion that the 8-year journey God led me on was longer than he actually anticipated or expected. Why? Because of my humanity, because of my ego and pride. I'm sure if I'd kept my face before God in the way he wanted and not let self rise up, maybe those 8 years may not have been quite so long. I don't know, that's just my own speculation. God also wanted me to remind you of this. You are God's inheritance. We are God's inheritance. And he will never reject that. We always talk about our inheritance in God, both now and in the future. But we sometimes forget, I know I do, that I am actually God's inheritance as well. Why? Because it says in Psalm 96 verse 14, for the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. Do you realise you are God's inheritance? Think about that for a minute. You are God's inheritance. We are God's inheritance. He will never forsake and he will never reject his inheritance. You're priceless to him. Why would he send his son Jesus to die on the cross? Because he loves us. And we hear that so much, and I've heard it all my life growing up, and it's all so true, but sometimes I keep forgetting how significant that is in my life. It's not just guaranteeing my future inheritance in eternity. It's in guaranteeing the presence of God in my life this day and every day. And everything that God has for me, it's guaranteeing that because he will not reject me. The enemy wants you to think exactly the opposite. You're not worthy. Look what you did last week. Look what you said. Look how you behaved. Oh, you didn't put the tithes in this week. That's not very good. They're all very simple things, but that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to steal the truth of what you have and distract you from what you do have. Don't let the things which are in your life now distract you from the presence of God. And I felt actually in particular that to say this, and I hope I say this the right way, there's people here and you've been crying out to God for a long time for things. And it's starting to become a distraction because for some reason God hasn't answered yet. And it's starting to cause you to dial down your expectation in God. God says, don't let the things of your life which you're crying out for distract you from worshipping me and revering my name. And I say this prophetically, I believe that as you start to put your focus back on God, those things you've been crying out for, God will come and meet your need. God will come and show himself for what he is because his word says it. One thing I felt God did say to me in particular in relation to distraction was this. I felt there's some people here who are actually struggling with unforgiveness, whether it's towards a friend, a family member or a work colleague. He didn't say specifically, but just there were some examples. In particular, though, I felt God wanted me to say this. For some of you here, you're actually struggling with unforgiveness towards someone else in this very church. This is a strong thing to say, but I'm just going to say what I believe God showed me. And it's grieving the Holy... Sorry. It's grieving the Holy Spirit. They're not my tears, that's God's. He doesn't want his church to be divided. And unforgiveness will divide his church if we hold it against each other. And as I say that, I feel such the presence of God saying, please don't let that continue. If you know that's you and you have unforgiveness towards someone here or someone else there, go and ask forgiveness and seek God and say, God, I am sorry. Maybe what the person did shouldn't have happened, but we're all human. We all hurt each other at times. But we cannot hold on to unforgiveness against that person because that will distract us from the presence of God. It's so important we don't allow that to happen. The last part was glimpses. And it says here in this prophetic word, I've lost it for a second, here it is. As you revere me, as you honour and worship me, know this, you will see glimpses of your future inheritance. In worshipping me face to face, you will see glimpses of what I have in store for you. And I said to God, what do you mean by glimpses? And I'll be honest, I got a little bit frustrated because he didn't show me. I was hoping he would because I was getting excited. I say that respectfully, God. But he said this. And as soon as I asked him, he gave me this scripture. And you all know this, a prayer God or Jesus taught us to pray. But he gave me the first two verses only. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as I wrote that down, God instantly showed this to me and said, remind them of this. My house will be a house of prayer where you will seek me and worship me. My house will be a house of prayer where you will seek me and worship me. And as I thought about it, I felt God was saying this. As we come before him in fear and honour and reverence before him as he wants, as we come and worship him in prayer, as we come and worship him in song, that God's kingdom will come, God's will be done in this place as it is in heaven. God wants to manifest the power and the presence of his Spirit here in this place when we come and seek him. And as I say that, they're not my words. That's what God is saying this morning. He is going to and he wants to. But there's one thing we have to do. We have to seek him in prayer and in worship. Because the moment we do that, we take our eyes off the distractions of this world. We take our eyes off ourselves, and we say, God, you are the one we want to focus on. You are the one we want to honour and worship. And as I was writing that down, as I was praying about it, I felt God show me that when we do that, we'll see his Holy Spirit descend like a cloud. And he will come and minister in the way he wants to come and minister. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited because that's what I want to see in this church. That's what this country needs to see, the power and the presence of God for what it is. All they're doing at the moment is mocking it. We don't need God. We have science. Now, science is wonderful, but science will never replace God. This nation needs to hear the voice of God once again. And guess what? It's going to through you, through us as a church and through many other churches across this land. If we respond to the cry of the heart of God to fear him and worship him, if we respond to his cry of saying, God, we will come and seek you in prayer and in worship, I guarantee you God will manifest himself in that. Because all I'm simply saying is what the word talks about anyway, and God's word will never return unto him void. It will always accomplish the plans and the purposes for which it is sent. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says the following, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And I'm going to finish with this in a minute. And as I've thought about that and as I prayed and I've been talking to God about it all, I felt God wanted to remind us all of this once again. It's not how many buildings we have. It's not how many lights we have hanging up during the worship. It's not how amazing our music is. It's not all the programs we have which is going to cause this nation to hear his voice. It's going to be through the power of his Holy Spirit. All those things are wonderful, but it's by not by our might, it's not by our power, it's by his Spirit that this will happen. And we have to lean and fall on that. And guess what? He wants us to, and he says, do you want to have it? Do you want to do it? Do you want to be a part of that right now? Because if you will, I will respond. It's not by might. It's not by our power. But it's by the Spirit of God. What an amazing privilege that we stand in awe of God and worship him. We stand and honour him and praise him and fear his name according to what the Scripture says. And yet we can call out to him, Abba Father. Think about that for a second. That we can call out Abba Father, and yet he is the Lord God Almighty. I know I'm repeating myself, but I think sometimes we have to think about it for a few minutes and start to realise the significance of what the word is actually saying. Graham said before that maybe you've never encountered God before, you don't really know God. I felt God showed this to me as well. For some of you sitting right here, your experience in God is too much up here. You know God, you believe in God, you know some of the scriptures, but you haven't encountered the power of God in here. If you've never encountered the power of God in here, it will change you forever. It can't help but. Don't let your religion or your salvation be based on head knowledge. Base it on heart knowledge. And you'll experience the presence and the power of God in a way you never have before. Yes, we need to understand the word. We need head knowledge in terms of the word. I want to contradict myself. But the word has to not just simply stay here. It has to come down here. Because the moment it does, your life will never change again. I pray that the heart of what I've been saying or what God has wanted me to say this morning has come through. As I said, there's so much more I have to say. In fact, this isn't the end of the sermon. I said to Graham, I probably won't get it finished. There's still two more pages down there. I'll do that next time I speak. I've only spoken on verses 4 to 6 at the moment. But we do worship the Almighty God. We do worship the King of Kings. And let me finish with reading this scripture. Well, not scripture, but verse. Actually, I'll read the whole chapter. Psalm 93, the Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas are lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers out of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. That's who we worship. That is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God is calling to us this day once again to fear him in awe and wonder, to honour him, to revere him, to stand before him in astonishment, to be held in awe, to inspire reverence before him. And if we do that, I know and I believe and I say prophetically, the power of God will move. We are entering a new season. Graham prayed that this morning up at the back there. And I believe that. These are not my words. This is a new season of God. Let's not have any bystanders. Let's all participate in what God is saying today. The next half of this sermon I'll speak in a few weeks' time talks exactly about that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. You are the Lord God Almighty. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, I pray that the heart of what you're trying to say has come through this morning, Lord. And I pray that every one of us sitting here right now, Lord, would say, yes, God, count us in, count me in. God, you are calling to each one of us right now. You're calling to us as a church, but you're calling to each one of us individually as well. God, I pray in the midst of our worship that, Lord, your spirit would rise up, Father. Lord, we would see signs and wonders. That, Father, we would come into your house in praise and worship. We would come with prayer and seek your face, God. But, Lord, let us not restrict it just to on a Sunday morning. Father, let us come before you each and every day. I pray that we would not allow the distractions of this world or the distractions of our life to stop us or inhibit us from seeking you, Father. And I pray that, Lord, we will see glimpses of what you have in store for us in the future. And above all else, Lord, I pray that through this church, the voice of this country's, the voice of your voice, Father, would come through this country loud and clear. This nation needs to hear your voice again, Lord. This nation needs to hear the truth of your word. And I pray that, Father, we would have the boldness to say it. But, Father, we thank you that, Lord, in the midst of all that, we can come and rest in you and say, Abba, Father, we love you. Thank you, Father. You are an amazing God. And I pray that, Lord, as we leave this morning, Father, that we would leave with a sense of knowing that, God, you have spoken something to us personally and that we would respond in the name of Jesus. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.